Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive in the classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
Welcome to an all-new episode of The Payoff. I'm Tom. That's Jeff. Jeff, how the hell are you doing?
Boy, it's a good week, man. You know, we got we are just kind of enjoying the wrestling life at this point. It's post-WrestleMania season. We're heading toward Backlash, and so we got a little bit of that today. It's just it's some good things on the calendar here. I feel like it's a little bit of a lull after Backlash, but, you know, good things are happening, I'm sure.
Yeah, historically, I feel like these Backlash shows have been pretty good. I can recall certain times where they've done the rematch to the WrestleMania match and the rematch has been better. There's one in particular. I don't remember what year, but it was Austin Rock and their Backlash match. I thought was like just ridiculously good. So I'm a fan of Backlash. I know some people didn't like what it was called, WrestleMania Backlash, but I mean, that's really what it is, right? It's mm-hmm. a fallout, and you'll see that in this card, but it's kind of fallout from WrestleMania. So I'm ready if you are.
Yeah, let's jump right in, man.
All right. It's time for the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
So Backlash 2007, we are April 29th of 2007 in Atlanta, Georgia at the Phillips Arena. You've probably never been to the Phillips Arena, right?
I have not.
Okay. It's really weird how it's set up, but basically, if I remember correctly, most, if not all of the private suites are on one side. So like where I was sitting there was like normal seating, but I looked across and there were like five tower, you know, like five deep of private suites on the other side, kind of a weird building.
That's what I'm looking at right now. Yes, I'm with you.
Okay. Yeah. It's kind of weird. The other place that's set up that way is, to a certain degree is the 49ers stadium, in Santa Clara, where they just have a disproportionate number there. And there's probably a good reason for it. From a staffing standpoint, it's probably better to have people and all the private stuff on one side. But anyways, interesting show here. A lot of ramifications following WrestleMania. Dark match was Carlito defeating Johnny Nitro. We start off with the Hardys retaining their tag team titles against Cade and Murdoch in 14 minutes. Melina is going to retain her women's championship in 9 minutes, defeating Mickey James. Chris Benoit is going to retain his U.S. championship in 13 minutes against MVP. Mr. McMahon, Shane McMahon, and Umaga are going to defeat Bobby Lashley in a handicap match to win the ECW World Championship, which was Vince winning the title. That's when Vince became ECW champion. It was a 15-minute match. That, of course, was the follow-up to the Trump McMahon loser loses their hair match. And, you know, that did huge business.
I was there.
You remember?
Yep.
Undertaker Batista is our semi-main event. That's the match we're covering today in a last man standing match for the world heavyweight title. And then in the main event, and we've covered this one, John Cena is going to retain his title in a four-way against Orton, Edge, and Shawn Michaels. Hell of a four-way match. So really, I mean, a really good card. Interestingly enough, every match on the show was a championship match. So pretty darn good card. You know, two bona fide main events and a pretty good undercard. So
yeah,
Undertaker Batista, obviously this is continuing on post WrestleMania. They had that awesome WrestleMania match that, have we covered that? I know I've watched it. I don't think we've covered it. But that was a really good match that maybe next year we'll go back and cover. So
we have it on the list. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Undertaker, Batista. How did we get to this match?
Yeah. And you kind of touched on it a little bit already here. There wasn't a ton to get it to here. Overall, you would think like Undertaker, Batista, like, you know, it should have been a main event, but the right main event was picked here for the four-way. It was kind of rated better and it was a, you know, they're both good matches. There's nothing really to complain about. Like you said, the undercard, the whole card was actually pretty good. Other than the women's match, everything, and not the best metric here, but, you know, it was 3 stars or better. And so really good stuff here. So, but, you know, this was too, and we had the branded shows as well too, of like the kind of separation. And so these guys were the SmackDown side of things. We'll kind of rewind a little bit here. It was, going before even WrestleMania here, it was Royal Rumble. Taker won that Rumble 2007. So he then got the chance to pick which title he wanted to go after. Unlike nowadays, there was also the ECW title in the mix. So you had the ECW, the World Heavyweight, and just the WWE Championship. And so, but then we of course get the Undertaker Batista match at WrestleMania. There was actually, of course, the promo where at the time your champs were Bobby Lashley, Batista, and John Cena, deciding to take on Batista at that WrestleMania. I was there, Ford Field in Detroit.
Have the I was there shirt?
I don't have the I was there shirt, but I was digging through some stuff. I actually still have a laminated copy of my printed 8.5 by 11 ticket. Oh. And so I still have that. I still have the program. I did the Hall of Fame and they gave out a commemorative medal at the Hall of Fame. And so I still have the medal as well too from the Hall
of Fame. It's a shame. That's just, those things just don't exist anymore. I mean, that's one of my... My regrets is I wish I had every ticket stub of everything I've ever done. Do you have them all?
I have the Mania one. I don't keep some of the other ones.
You know what I'm saying? You could make a really cool little cork board or something, throw in your garage or whatever, but like laminate something or whatever of every event you've been to. I think it'd be kind of cool.
And this predated the digital tickets. You had to, print and all that stuff at home. And so, I remember too, we at least put on like khakis and a polo to go to the Hall of Fame because we had no clue kind of what the, what we were expecting. But then of course you've got the guy in like the broken skull t-shirt as well too. Like,
so for those that don't remember or are too young, the Hall of Fame, for a while, it's probably been 10 years now, but for a long time, certainly in this era, 2007, they actually put on the ticket, I think it was like business formal attire required, something like that. Like it wasn't suit required, but it was something like, it required. Now they didn't kick anyone out for coming in a, dressed like Steve Austin, but there was just this like really awkward. So at one point, I think it was like highly formal, like Madison Square Garden, WrestleMania 20. I mean, I didn't go to it, but I was in the hotel like as people were walking in and they were in suits. I mean, it was like very, very formal. But there was this era where like some would still do it and some didn't. And so you'd have... Let me be delicate in how I say this. People that maybe didn't normally dress up formally trying to do so, and their heart was in the right place, but it led to some pretty good people watching. I'll just leave it at that. But that's how you showed up to these things. But then you'd have the guy in a suit jacket holding a replica winged eagle belt.
Yeah.
I mean, just the people watching at these things was phenomenal. It was better than the actual Hall of Fame.
We can talk about it more later. I think it's a missed opportunity what they're doing now with it, doing it like around SmackDown and stuff, because it did used to be
about that.
It did used to be an event, and so but we'll get to that. And so anyway, so we've got the 15-0 WrestleMania, Undertaker winning at that one, and then not ending the feud at that point, still continuing with Teddy Long booking this is a last man standing match after the WrestleMania match between these two guys. And so really just the rematch of that match and kind of continuing that story. So that's how we got here.
Well, I'm pumped to cover this. I remember the WrestleMania match being awesome. I'm sure this is going to be a barn burner as well. I'm a big last man standing fan because you're going to get shenanigans and some some spectacle. So yeah, let's get into this one. We're at the 1 hour and 40 minute mark of Backlash 2007. 1 hour, 40 minute. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right. It's time for the payoff.
Ho! It's time for the payoff.
All right, here we are. Batista all jacked up and tatted up.
Looking neck, young with hair.
Neck is, his neck and shoulders are just, I mean, what, I don't know, what's that called? Between the neck and the shoulders? The traps?
Or lats? Or traps? Or
traps, lats? I don't know. It's,
yeah. I don't have that muscle. I don't know.
So, I don't either. It doesn't. Yeah. I have a neck and I have shoulders. But yeah, this thing's like 3 feet wide, whatever's between his neck and his shoulders. Taker with the big reveal, hat off. And we're ready. We're off and running here.
Taker looks good too. Still young. Yeah. Younger, I guess. Yeah. Best way to put it.
Yeah. So let me start with this, because you and I haven't really talked about this. I know you didn't pay $60 and watch it live, nor did I. But what did you think of the Sting retirement? And I'm asking that because we're going to tie it into the Undertaker. But did you watch some highlights? What did you think of how they did it?
I think I told you at the time that the match got kind of overshadowed by the Darby spot. I just wish that, like, I like didn't know, like, you know, it was that week of or whatever it was, or the week before, and I was like, hey, remember Sting's retirements this weekend? And we were both just like, oh, okay. Like, you know, I just felt like there could have been more. And we're not watching the week to week either, but like, could have had a little bit more of a celebration of Sting. The story coming out too after the fact was like, Sting did want to lose, and then they did, you know, they weren't about to have that. And I'm thinking to myself, like, that's what I should have gone out on his back. You know, I feel like that's one where he, you know, why not? You know, he absolutely is, you know, just, he's all about the business. I just, you know, from that era, you know, I found it comical when we saw, you know, recently, like, Dominic Mysterio actually got married, not to Rhea Ripley, but, you know, but like seeing all the wrestler photos, like, of the wrestlers there and stuff like that. And in his wedding party, like, that stuff happened, and I get social media has changed things, but it just, I feel like, you know, maybe he didn't, he didn't get what he wanted, but also, like, I say I would have wanted more. I don't necessarily know what that would have entailed, but I felt like it just kind of limped into the finish line a little bit here when, you know, it could have been a lot more. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I loved the entrance with his kids and the one kid coming out in the Great American Bash or whatever it was outfit with the red, white, and blue. Like, I thought that was cool as shit.
Painted up, yeah.
Yeah, I thought, you know, I mean, obviously he looked really good and despite the age, and, you know, the match was what it was. The Young Bucks thing, I mean, there wasn't any – I mean, the Young Bucks just came out and said, hey, I want to wrestle you. Like, there was no storyline to it. You know, them calling themselves Matthew and whatever the other one's name is, like trying to be heels. Nicholas, right? Yeah, like, what led to that just did nothing for me. There was no, you know, to me, there was no heated, you know, reason for them to wrestle. It was a tag team that has backstage pool, said they wanted it to be the final match, and so it was. And again, that's kind of AEW in general, right? We say we're going to have a match because we say we're going to have a match, not because there was any historical reason for it or some great storyline. Yeah, we attack you and we're bad and you're good and we're going to beat you. And so that didn't really do much for me. You know, I think two other, you know, critiques. One would be, you know, I would have liked more legends to be front row. You know, I would have had the Lex Luger's of the world, the Ric Flair's of the world. I mean, I know Rick was involved in the match, but like, I would have had those
Luger
guys.
Was there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I know he was there, and I think DDP might've been there too. And I mean, I saw some pictures backstage, but I would have had those. I would have had them front row. Like, to me, like the hard cam front row would have been the Sting section. Right. And it would have just been all I would have, if I'm Tony Khan, I would have just said, hey, we want you here. We're going to fly you here. We're going to put you up in a great hotel, and we're going to pay you a, you know, $5,000 appearance fee, $10,000, whatever. Like I would have just spent the, you know, couple hundred thousand or whatever, because obviously they've got deep pockets and it's his dad's money. I would have just paid to have a really good, kind of like they did for Ric Flair's last match, where I think Brett was there, Foley was there, Taker was there. And that was almost by accident. You know, it wasn't even like they were deliberate about it. They just had people that wanted to be there. So that's one thing I would have done. The other thing too, and I know there's just nothing you can do about it, but, you know, moments like that, I feel like we've been now conditioned that they take place on a WrestleMania-like stage, you mm-hmm. know, like a Wembley. It's this stuff happening in arena. And I wouldn't have said that, because, you know, you look at the Attitude Era, all the great moments happened in arenas. You know, I mean, Steve Austin, you know, you figure WrestleMania 14, 15, 16. I mean, those were arena shows. So many of like the greatest moments in the Attitude Era, I mean, all the other pay-per-views, like they weren't doing Royal Rumbles in baseball stadiums. So we're now, I just feel like these big moments, it's like you need them to happen in a stadium. And maybe that's just me, but I mean, optically, you know, it's like Undertaker retiring. And that's why I brought this up. It's like Undertaker retiring. Now, it was during a global pandemic. I get it, but it was in an arena. It wasn't a big moment. And, you know, is there, you know, and it maybe it's too late for that, but it just feels like, you know, an Undertaker conclusion needed to happen in a big stadium. You know, and I know WWE didn't do right by Sting and blah, blah, blah. I get all that. And Triple H won the match. But didn't it feel like Sting retiring should have been, you know, closing night one of WrestleMania in Philadelphia or wherever it may be? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the pyro going off and the, you know, Sting silhouette in the sky and all that stuff, right? Like it felt like that was missing. And again, it couldn't happen. You know, the flip side of it is most people never get what Sting got. You know, Hulk Hogan's final match was in a 6-man match overseas, untelevised in TNA. Mm-hmm. Triple H's last match, I think, was Randy Orton in Saudi. Maybe it was in Australia, but it wasn't. And of course, we didn't know it was going to be his last match, but it was. So a lot of people, and you can go down the list, a lot of all timers never got anything close to what Sting got. So I don't know. Any other thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'll counterpoint you here. I feel like it's interesting because to me, I think that it took. Putting it at the end of the show, I actually think took away from the moment. We still talk about Undertaker's that cinematic match. We still remember it. Like it was a big deal. It felt right. I feel like with the Sting stuff, it just doesn't feel right. You know, and part of me thinks, like, to your point, like you couldn't find a way to put together a 2-hour show for Sting like during the week. Like you tell me you couldn't, like you said, it should be on, like you're saying, it should be on a pay-per-view or a premium line or pay-per-view, whatever they're calling it. I would say the flip side, like do it on the weekly TV, but have it be all about Sting for that whole time, because then you know, you've got, at that point, after 4 hours, are you really as in, or 5 hours of being in the venue, are you really as committed to, you know, being there and awake and alert and ready to engage, versus like, okay, 2 hours, we're going to do this, we're going to do video packages, we'll do all this stuff. I know there was a lot of politics behind the scenes of like people couldn't be there or be on TV, or they could be there. And, but then at the same time, I think to myself, like, you know, when Mercedes Sasha debuted in AEW, fucking Bailey and Naomi put out a video of them, like, you know, disguising themselves. And then there's all these shots of them, like, you know, there, like in, granted, yeah, they were like fan shots and it's like, you know, blurry and all this other stuff, but like, they're not trying to hide the fact that they're there. Like, and so I'm actually surprised there isn't more kind of floating around videos and like stuff of like wrestlers that were there and we just didn't see it. And so I don't know, like, that's why I feel like part of me, like if they were there, we would have seen those videos because fans would have gotten shots of them. And so I do question like how many people were there and kind of, you know, doing it. It just, like I said, it all just feels off. Like, you know, you look at some of these other retirements, like I say retirements or at least kind of last matches, like, you know, like you said, comparing it to Undertaker just felt different. And this one just didn't feel as good. And so, speaking of, we had a pretty stiff match up to this point, kind of some action outside the ring, a little bit inside the ring. Again, remember, it's last man standing at this point for who's going to win here. Taker has taken apart a little bit of the, I think that's the SmackDown table. It's not the Spanish table. The SmackDown table. And is,
I think this is when they had Raw, SmackDown, and ECW, right?
Yeah, tables. They had all three, and I'm pretty sure I saw JBL there, so I think that's the SmackDown table. There's young baby Michael Cole. Yep.
I watched some of these Taker matches like later in his career, and it's like, and you know, some of like those Brock matches are also in this category, and it's like, how is this dude still walking?
Yeah.
I mean, what is he, the better part of 7 feet tall? And, you know, I mean, he beat the shit out of his body.
Let's see. So he's 58. You know, I feel like, well, and you figure like basketball players that are hit, like, they got him listed at 6'10". Even if you say, okay, he's 6'8", 6'7". That's, you know, I say, you know, standard basketball player type size. He's a big guy. Like, you know, they get what, you know, no less than 6 to 8 years, a lot of them, and their bodies are just destroyed. Dude is working way harder for 30 plus years and just destroying his body. And yeah, you want, like, some of these guys, like, I know we especially have enjoyed the a little bit of a blade there. Yep. You know, we've been enjoying some of the new Dark Side this season, and especially the Buff episode. Like, when they're, you know, it's, and we've heard it before in some of these guys, like, yeah, I was Kurt especially too, I was taking 60 pills a day. Like, you know, I was getting prescribed, and I'm thinking to myself, like, I take 2 pills a day, and like one's a multivitamin. Like, I don't understand how you regimen. Like, I just don't understand how these guys, like, you know, different time, you know, built different, but Jesus, just crazy. Yeah.
I'm guessing you've noticed this too. And you know, I've only watched the first two episodes of Dark Side of the Ring. I've seen the Earthquake one and the Buff Bagwell one, but it just feels like the tone, oh boy, leg drop. Ooh, that was off crazy, the barricade, yeah. Through the table by the Undertaker. Fantastic. So last man standing, we'll get a count now. It just feels like the tone of the Dark Side of the Rings has been just a little brighter. It just felt like last season was, we're going to just disparage everyone and every guest, and we're gonna burn the place down. And I just watched those episodes, I'm like, I just didn't even enjoy this. Like, this wasn't fun for me. And It's like, it's just uncomfortable. The two I've seen so far this year, just, you know, again, Buff Bagwell, like, it doesn't, you know, like, it doesn't have to be tragic. Like, you know, you can tell whatever story you want, and I understand sometimes the story, you know, dictates where things go, but it's like, I like that it's been a little bit warmer, and hey, you know, we're going to put his ex-wives on there, but they're going to say they still love the guy and he's a good person and, you know, made some bad decisions, and they explain why he made those decisions. And I've been really happy with it.
When I almost saw a comical where we're 10 minutes into what, a 45 minute episode, and at the 10 minute mark is when he shoots his dad. Like, We still got 30 minutes to go in this show. It's like, and I know we caught a little bit of, you know, not some backlash, but, you know, we had some comments on Twitter when we had Buff on the episode. It was our second episode, whatever it was, and him talking about Judy. And, like, you know, looking back at it now, a few years ago, like, he was not
fully there. And so he was struggling a little bit with some of these things. And so it's great to see, again, DDP saving wrestlers' lives, DDP doing what he does and kind of helping these guys out. And so, yeah, it is good to see. I think, unfortunately, there's probably more of these bad stories, and DDP can only help so many, or they can only help, you know. Mero does a lot too to kind of help these guys, and you know, a lot of them do. You know, I wish there was more, but I feel it's just kind of comical. I will joke there was Undertaker actually made a joke about this. He said he joked he could have faced Sting in one more match if he didn't retire at Revolution. Would you have in 2024, would you have liked a one more Sting Undertaker match if they could make it happen?
Yeah, so my thoughts are yes, I would have. And I just say that, you know, you'd have to figure out a way creatively to make it happen. So it, you know, you'd need a lot of smoke and mirrors. And however you do that, again, whether it's cinematic, you know, or you went like the AJ Styles Undertaker route where it was filmed. And I guess that would be cinematic. But, you know, I mean, I think there's ways you could do it. You know, I mean, you could probably get away with a street fight. You just have to figure out a way creatively to pull it off. But I do think you can. Where they've gotten in trouble is, you know, Undertaker Goldberg. They just tried wrestling a straight match, and you know, it's like these guys can't go out and just wing it. Like, it's got to be, okay, am I sure I can? Let's get a crash pad in the ring. Let's make sure I can get you up for this move. And Goldberg was concussed or whatever happened. He hit his head on the locker or door or whatever before the match, or he hit the ring post, whatever happened. So that was kind of a weird situation. But yeah, I actually think they could still pull it off. And I think there's ways to do it. You know, I'd still like to see it. You know, and to me, I'm also a guy that, you know, would still like to see Hulk Hogan in a tag match. So, I mean, right. Like, I'm always going to err on the side of sure, what the hell? Like, I think Ric Flair getting in the ring, I had no problem with it. I mean, look, he's old and he can't move like he did, and it was a health risk and he wanted to do it. And why the hell not? I mean, are we supposed to say that, hey, at a certain age, you know, you should sit in a lazy boy and wait to die? No, I mean, I applaud people at an older age still rolling back the clock, and I like seeing it. So,
yeah, I think that they you know, to do it right is the biggest thing. And so, yeah, so we got another with the chair shot. You got Batista down again. Taker trying to get the count here. Been a good match overall. I'd say stiff is the best way to put it. Like, they've been
very stiff,
hard, not technical at all. You know, just these guys really going at it. Taker looks like going for the tombstone here.
And I don't know if you'd see. I don't know if you. Yep, hit the tombstone. They're both out. You think about like the Triple H PLE. And I don't know if you'd see something like this anymore, where you'd see like this match, then you'd see that four-way. I mean, it's a little different now. And part of it is, you know, you're not trying to get $40 off someone a month after you got $50 off them.
Right. Yeah.
So it's a little different now.
Yeah.
You know, I almost, you know, I'll tell you, like, what was the PL? Did the Rumble only had four matches? Am I right? Was it men's, women's, Logan Paul, Roman Reigns? What else was there? I think it was only the four.
Was there a women's match? There was only four. Rhodes, Punk, Logan, Owens.
Four.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So, like, so my two point rumbles, is, like, are we...
The four-way, yeah.
So have we, and you know, there's other ones that have had like five matches. I mean, I don't know what Chamber had, but I think Chamber may have had five matches total, you know, men's Chamber, women's Chamber. But I mean, were these PLEs, I mean, it's like, you got to be careful. I mean, like, I wonder if we're going to get to a place where it's like, okay, we need to get back to six matches. Like, you know, I'm paying all this money to attend the first pay-per-view ever in France, and you're giving me four matches. Like, I'd like to see The Rock, or I'd like to see John Cena, or I didn't get Cody Rhodes, or I just got him in an interview. I wonder if there's any pushback on this stuff. I mean, you know, even the Elimination Chamber, you got, you know, Cody for a, you know, throwaway interview. Like, I'd kind of like to see the guy wrestle. And I mean, Reigns was not on that show.
No.
Chamber, he wasn't there.
No.
You know, so again, I just wonder if there will be pushback on some of these big shows of, hey, that's cool that I, you know, got Gunther, but I didn't get Roman Reigns or whatever. All right, so we're on the stage. It looks like, oh!
We got the giant electrical spot. Yeah, off the stage.
Wow.
Okay, that right there. So they went through the boxes on the side. That, compared to some other crash pads, that looks pretty real.
Yeah, this was a good, however they did this one was good. I mean, we'll see some of the replays, but I this doesn't look.
They had it timed, so some of the staging fell. Yeah, this is good. Okay. Yeah.
Well, we'll see the replay on this, but I'll tell you, that was awesome. Like, from the initial view of it was awesome. So we're going to get a double count draw here, which you can do in your semi-main event. But, you know, we're building towards, you'll get into it. We're building towards another match. But so they're out here. I want to see the replay here. But that's
your point. Yep, that's it. To your point too, I saw the at least the rumor coming up recently is that PLEs are all going to start at 7 o'clock now. They're shooting for that earlier start time.
Or seven Eastern.
Yes.
Regardless of where they are in the world or the U.S.?
Yeah. Well, no, if they're in the U.S.,
Okay.
And so just like that 8 o'clock, which I am all for. I'm fine with an 8 o'clock Saturday, a 7 o'clock Saturday I'm even happier about. Like, and so, yeah, like, give it to me. Like, let's – yeah, I'm a fan of that. So to your point, yeah, about how they're scheduling these and kind of laying them out, like, give me an extra match if I don't have to be up till midnight to watch it. Like, that AEW pay-per-views, like – it's just like you're going to be up till midnight every single one.
Well, that was a good match, man.
It really was. Yeah. Maybe that don't like the finish, but it was actually a pretty hot finish, though.
No, too. You got to do that sometimes. So I'm okay with it. All right. Well, this was good. Let's get into the aftermath.
Ho! It's time for the aftermath.
What'd you think?
It's a good match. It was stiff as hell. I like that style of wrestling. I think these guys complemented each other well. Like you said, they had the good match at WrestleMania. They're coming off of that. They had a good match here. It makes sense, you know, how they kind of did this and kind of how it played out. And so, I think that overall, and like they kept going. And so, I think overall, just really good stuff. How about you?
Yeah. I mean, this is part of a multiple match series, and they're building towards something else. I'm guessing that the blow off was probably Hell in a Cell, but you know, here we're getting the replay of this spear now. Pretty awesome. So I have no problem with it. I mean, I'm okay with this finish sometimes. But I thought a really good match. And I mean, if you were there live or if you ordered the pay-per-view, you're like, okay, we're gonna continue this. But hey, let me go to the bathroom and come back and watch a four-way that was off the charts and had a clean finish.
Yeah, if this was the main event, I think that would have been a shitty finish. But I think because it wasn't, it's fine.
And absolutely.
So this one, of course, we get the kind of double, well, I guess double, not count out, but double kind of finish, or, you know, double not standing. Oh, that's a kind of a cool replay. They had the camera set up real well there. That was cool.
Oh yeah, this was one of the better done versions of that.
Yep. And so that was really good. But of course we get It was actually an episode of SmackDown where these guys ended up having a steel cage match. That one, they actually escaped at the same time. And so Undertaker was still the champ after that one. You had a returning Mark Henry at this point too, kind of attacking the Undertaker. So starting the new feud there. But then as well with this one, you had Edge. And this is how Taker losing the belt. Edge, who had beat Mr. Kennedy, actually, to win the Money in the Bank contract, cashed in at this point and beat the Undertaker. And so for an Undertaker, excuse me, an Edge cash.
Don't remember that at all.
Yeah, so kind of winning that one. So yeah, I've got that one on the list for later. So yeah, so PWI Batista 13, Undertaker 5 in 2007. The bell rang to start this match. Not the ring entrances, mind you, but the actual match with 1 hour of TV time left. So we're in for a long haul. Yeesh. What's on my mind? The story of the match early was Undertaker had a right arm injury. It was all taped up. Maybe a legit work. Who knows? Dave set up for a power bomb. Batista set up for a power bomb, but Taker fought free. I don't know why he's calling him Dave.
Because he thinks it's cool to use their first names.
Dave finally speared him off the stage. There were explosions and three lighting stands collapsed. It definitely looked spectacular. Cole wasn't playing it up nearly enough. The ref was screaming for help as he rapidly counted to 10. Fans were not happy about that. Ring announcer said since it was a draw, the champ retained. As everyone was cleaning up the mess, Taker got to his seat and walked out under his own power. Not sure I would have booked that. Another excellent match, though. 4 stars. So... 4 stars on that one. What are you feeling for your payoff score on this one?
I got this at a 7. I really liked it. You know, I mean, you can't give a 10 usually to something that ends that way. So, but they had to do it. I mean, they did it for a specific reason. So totally cool with that. And yeah, just a 7 for me. I really liked it. It was a really good match. And, you know, I mean, you don't think of Batista as being a great worker per se, but, you know, you go through his body of work. And I mean, you know, some great matches with Triple H, great matches with The Undertaker, great matches with John Cena, you know, some good stuff with Shawn Michaels. Even when he came back, the stuff with the Shield, there's a lot of good stuff. I mean, he definitely is in that kind of underrated category where I don't think of him as being like, you know, oh, this is an all-time great. But I mean, he had a pretty darn good career when you look at his matches. I mean, they were good matches. Yeah, certainly absolutely believable.
What'd you think? They're fun to watch, like plain and simple. Like, you know, there's just good stuff, like, you know, nothing to complain about. Like it all really good. I'm with you. I give it a 7 as well. I just think that it's one that, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you don't like the finish, but at the same time, like still really good, still really enjoyable, still really stiff match. Like just cause the ending wasn't exactly what you wanted. That's okay. Like it was still good stuff. So yeah. 7.
Cool.
So I want to remind everybody, of course, that sponsor that we've had since, God, I feel like the start. Somebody asked me long the other time. Day. Yeah, I was at a work conference and we were talking about the show and they're like, who's your sponsor? Who, you know, I said, we've been with Manscaped for probably 3 years at this point. And so
crazy.
You and I still ordering their stuff, using their stuff. And so, and obviously you guys are out there still ordering stuff too and believing us because they're keeping us around too. And so using that promo code payoff, of course, getting you 20% off free shipping, everything in the store, everything in your cart at manscaped.com. Again, you know, if you sign up for the emails, if you just kind of click the stuff on the website, you're only getting 10-15%. So make sure to use that promo code payoff to get 20% off. Payoff to get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. So with that, let's send them home happy. We got a good one next week. This one next week's for you, my friend.
I'm very excited for it. Sure. Like peak rockers. Yeah. I'm excited, man. Sign me up. This is going to be awesome.
We got Rockers and Heart Foundation Saturday night main event. So yeah.
Cool. Well, this was a good one. I'm pumped for next week as well. Appreciate everyone listening, and we'll see you next week on an all-new episode of The Payoff.